sorry for my mother. She had nothing but the house. That was why, as soon as I started making money, I began buying her things. When I was 10 years old, Beatrice could no longer bear her life. She went down to Meyer's office when he was not there and raised the prices on the card posted in the waiting room. There must have been a battle beyond anything, because when I came home from school, my mother was gone. She returned home a week later, defeated, believing her only other alternative was a menial job. I knew then I was not going to let that happen to me. I would never let myself be dependent on anybody, and I never have. And yet, my parents did fulfill the immigrant dream. They moved up together. He gave her the status in the community, the doctor's wife. I believe my dad loved my mother. He was proud of what she brought into his life. Even though he was intimidated by it, he wanted the elegance, gloried in the proof that he had made it in America. I identify completely with my parents' terror. I live with it daily, the fear you'll be thrown back to where you started. I lie awake at night thinking about it, but feeling again the gratitude that I have what my parents missed in life, a way to be happy. I sometimes think of the day I discovered it. In the gymnasium of Brooklyn Ethical Culture School, I was a kitty cat in a pre-kindergarten play. A hit in a major role performed in front of a semicircle of chairs filled with grades K through 3 and teachers and parents. On my head was a kitty cat hat made of bunny fur with pink felt ears. Afterward, wanting to continue my happiness forever, I refused to take it off. That day I found the place where I could put aside real life and rewrite the rules, redo my life. I am mystified by people who tell me they just fell into show business. That contradicts everything I knew about becoming a performer. Certainly a comedian. You must want it so badly you will suffer anything, anything, just to get on a stage in front of people. Be willing again and again to pick yourself up and keep going after you've been hit on the head by a sledgehammer. I think the seed of that obsession often lies in some moment like mine, in the kitty cat hat, when we realize we do not have to be ourselves and we glimpse the secret garden of show business. I was sure that within those flowered walls, I would become truly beautiful, bathed in glamour and adoration. The conventional diagnosis of comics holds that they are hypersensitive, angry people who feel cheated of life's goodies and are laughing to keep from crying. I agree. But I think comedy is more aggressive than that. It is a medium for revenge. We can deflate and punish the pomposity and the rejection which hurts us. Comedy is power. We can be in control, can get the love and adoration we crave. The only weapon more formidable than humor is a gun. My sense of being cheated by fate was all the more accurate because I had tasted princesshood in pre-kindergarten. I had big brown eyes and long blonde hair, and strangers used to stop my mother on the street and say, "My God, I've never seen a child like that." Those few years were the only time in my life when I truly lived what became the dream, the only time I knew I was beautiful and a star. Then, in second grade, ethical culture, I was obliterated by normality. Everything went wrong. The hair turned brown, the nose grew, the body inflated, and Little Miss Pretty became Little Miss Piggy. The person I thought I was disappeared under chunky thighs and chunky little arms. When I was 11, I was transferred into the 7th grade at Adelphi Academy. At Brooklyn Ethical Culture, I had kept a social position, but now I was inserting myself into an already frozen order. I remember the first day, my heart hurting with fear as I walked up those steps, wearing a pink and green wool skirt and a pink and green plaid jerkin. I must have looked like a triple scoop ice cream cone. At recess, one of the kids called me a fat tub of lard. I understood that henceforth I was one of the outsiders. I was stuck as the class fat kid. I hated myself, seeing myself as this huge thing that could have fed China for a year. To this day, no matter how thin I am, that is my image of myself. In the first 3 years of Adelphi, I had almost no girlfriends. Boys were distant, impossible mysteries. I tried to convince myself that looks were not important, that what mattered was the inner me. But boys did not like my personality either. Ironically, all this time, my sister and I were being groomed by my mother to attract the perfect upper-class boys into the perfect WASP marriages. She gave us rules for dressing. She took us to Mr. Geiger's elocution studio so we could impress them with our speaking voices. My mother sent me to dancing classes, and fortunately, there was another girl in class who was also a nerd, and we developed a little strategy. We pretended we had polio, limped across the dance floor, so there was a very understandable reason why boys didn't ask us to dance. But the loneliness of being an outsider did not shrivel me. I escaped into the secret garden. I understood that acting could get me through everything. Ever since the kitty cat hat, I had known all my problems would vanish on a stage. So I had the dream, a permeating confidence that I'd been born a great dramatic actress, and my classmates would be sorry they had not appreciated